RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by a press review, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesia discuss terrorism prevention with 5 countries. Indonesian government will continue improve system to fight corruption. Indonesian election bill passed, presidential threshold maintained. Now the news in detail. Indonesia will hold a meeting on terrorism issues in the region along with Malaysia, Philippines, Brunei Darussalam, Australia, and New Zealand. The meeting theme, Sub-Regional Cooperation Meeting on Fighting Terrorist Fighters and Cross-Border Terrorism, will be held on July the 29th in Manado, North Sulawesi. Each country will be represented by officials responsible for terrorism issues, including Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs, Wiranto, Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi, Australian Attorney General George Brandis, and New Zealand Foreign Minister Jerry Brownlee. Indonesian Foreign Ministry spokesman Armananta Nasir told a news conference in Jakarta on Thursday, July the 20th, that the meeting was based on the rampant regionalization and growth of terrorist groups affiliated with the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria or ISIS in sub-regions.
Dari segi outcome, yang saya ketahui mungkin statementnya dari.
In terms of outcome, it's the joint statement of this meeting, but primarily, this is a good forum to discuss various issues related to financing on how we counter counter-terrorism strategies, how we prevent the regionalization of terrorist groups. Armananta further said that the crisis in Marawi, Southern Philippines, will also be one of the issues discussed at the meeting in Manado. Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi and New Zealand Foreign Minister Brownlee will hold a bilateral meeting on the sidelines of a meeting. Among agenda discussions are efforts to increase economic cooperation, including opening new market access for fruit products and energy cooperation, especially geothermal. The two foreign ministers will also increase people-to-people contact through education and tourism cooperation. Indonesian President Joko Widodo said on Thursday that he would continue to improve the system of government and intensify law enforcement to eradicate corruption in the country. Through the two approaches, corruption cases in the country could be reduced, he told newsmen after attending the 12th meeting of the All Indonesian Municipal Government Association, that they will continue the efforts to improve the system of government to assure that no official would trespass it. Law enforcement will also be intensified to create deterrent effect. President Joko Widodo also advised law enforcers to differentiate between acts that were taken as a result of policy and pure thefts. He added that he sees many regional heads who are still afraid of making decisions because of the situation. In view of that, he also appealed to law enforcers to be courageous to decide if an act was a mere result of a policy and not categorize it as a criminal case. credit rating agency Fitch Ratings has affirmed Indonesian sovereign credit rating at BBB with a positive outlook. The major ratings drivers were low government debt burden, positive outlook for growth, and limited sovereign exposure to banking sector risk. Also, with weak but strengthening external finances and some lagging structural factors plus a still difficult but improving business environment. Fitch says in a press release on Thursday, July the 20th, that Bank Indonesia monetary exchange rate policies and slowdown in the fast rise in corporate external debt have supported a further increase in Indonesia's external finances. Moreover, credible GDP growth assumptions in the revised budget for 2017 and strong structural reform were also appreciated by Fitch. It says that the two factors have gradually improved the business climate. On the other hand, Fitch notes an upside risk in the coming years of the government policies, including the tax amnesty program, reporting requirements, and international automatic exchange of information negotiation. Bank Indonesia Governor Agus Martowardoyo said that affirmed Indonesia's credit rating may help support the country in preserving investors' and other stakeholders' confidence. He said that the momentum must be kept up in a bid to maintain a balanced economic growth amid continued uncertainty in the global economy. Before affirming Indonesia's sovereign credit ratings at BBB with positive outlook, Fitch granted Indonesia SCR with a stable outlook. The latest decision also affirmed that the BBB ratings issued on Indonesia on December 21st last year is the same. The election bill has been passed into law at the plenary session of the House of Representatives on Thursday, July the 20th. Six factions agreed to adopt Package A that proposes 20 or 25% presidential threshold. The House Speaker Setia Novanto presided over the plenary to pass the election bill after three other House leaders walked out in disagreement of Package A, joining four other factions who did so. Indonesian Home Affairs Minister Cahyokumolo, who attended the plenary, said that the election law is a legal basis for the government and political parties ahead of the 2019 simultaneous general elections. The plenary meeting to pass the election bill split the House of Representatives into two opposing sides. The meeting saw some faction members walk out as they feel outnumbered. This news broadcast is coming your way from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Bank Indonesia decided to keep its benchmark rate, the 7-day reverse repo rate, at 4.75% in the Governor Council meeting held on July 19 to 20. Meanwhile, the deposit facility rate and lending facility rate are also kept at 4 and 5.5%, effective from July the 21st. Bank Indonesia spokesman Arbonas Hutabarat told a press conference after the meeting on Thursday, July the 20th, in Jakarta that the decision is consistent with Bank Indonesia's attempt to maintain macroeconomic and financial system stability, bearing in mind the dynamics of the global and domestic economy. Arbonas said the process economic recovery continues, however, it will not be as strong as expected, particularly due to slower consumption despite improved investment. Inflation is expected to slow down below the initial forecast due to the lack of demand and food prices that are kept under control. He said that the central bank remains aware of several risks, both from the global economy, particularly the Fed's balance sheet normalization, and domestic ones like corporate and bank consolidation. Indonesian Finance Minister Sri Mulyani said a Taiwanese ship named the Wanderlust, caught in Indonesian waters for allegedly carrying a ton of methamphetamine, had been fugitive in Southeast Asian countries. Sri Mulyani said at the Jakarta Police Headquarters on Thursday, July the 20th, that the Wanderlust is a target of operation by four countries over the past 2 months. He said President Joko Widodo had even passed order to detain the ship, a fugitive, in Thailand, Singapore, Malaysia, and Myanmar. Head of the Public Relations of the Jakarta Police, Senior Commissioner Argo Yuwono, said police investigators have examined the ship radar to ensure its route up to the Sunda Strait, Banten. Police have also explored the entire contents of the ship to ensure that the evidence is secured in the Taiwanese ship. Meanwhile, the Deputy for Eradication of the National Narcotics Agency, BNN, Inspector General Armand de Paris, said the countries through the waters of which the ship had sailed had been informed about the ship allegedly carrying 1,000 kilograms of methamphetamine believed to be produced by an international narcotics syndicate in the Thai Mekong River. Last item. Laos Foreign Minister Salumsai Komnasit is due to visit Jakarta on July 26th to 29th, where he and Indonesia's Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi will attend the 5th Indonesia-Laos Joint Commission on Bilateral Cooperation, or JCBC, meeting. Indonesian Foreign Ministry spokesman Armanata Nasir said during a press briefing in Jakarta on Thursday, July the 20th, that the 5th Indonesia-Laos JCBC meeting is also a special event, for it coincides with the 60th anniversary of Indonesia-Laos relations. Armanata added that the ministers will touch on various issues, including cooperation in political affairs, defense and security, as well as the economy. He said they will also focus on the current global and regional situation. Indonesia and Laos are both members of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations. To end the news, here are the main points once again. Indonesia holds meeting with 5 other countries to discuss terrorism prevention. Indonesian government continue improving system to fight corruption. Fitch Rating affirms Indonesian investment grade. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Hey Michelle, what are you reading?
Oh, hi Steve. I'm reading an Indonesian travel brochure. And guess what?
What?
It's really fun and challenging, you know?
Really?
Yeah. All scenery looks so beautiful. Now I can decide where to visit.
Well, how about Joglo Semarang? It is short term for Yogyakarta, Solo, and Semarang.
Oh.
And it is one of the 10 main tourism destinations in Indonesia.
Okay. I'll try to Joglo Semarang. Make your dream of having a holiday in Joglo Semarang, Indonesia come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2017. Answer the following question. 1. Please mention some VOI programs and which one is your favorite. 2. When do you listen to VOI and in what language? 3. How do you listen to VOI? 4. What is your suggestions for VOI? 5. Tell us briefly, what do you know about Indonesia?
Send the answers along with your personal data, passport number, and passport expiry date to VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id. VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id before August the 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with commentary, which today is on termination of support for Syria's opposition. The United States has decided to end support that has been given for several years to moderate Islamist insurgents fighting against President Bashar al-Assad's government in Syria. The end of the program secretly carried out by America is welcomed by Russia. U.S. President Donald Trump made the decision after meeting Russian President Putin twice during the G20 G20 summit in Hamburg, Germany last July 7th and 8th. If the first meeting was known to the public, the second meeting was very secret and newly opened to the media on Tuesday, July the 18th. The Washington Post was the first media to report a plan to stop the program by President. The White House finally confirmed that President Donald Trump held two meetings with President Putin. Initially, the second was denied to have been taken place. The confirmation of the meeting was admitted after the media heavily reported it. Nevertheless, White House officials only called it as a conversation rather than a second meeting. Donald Trump himself, through his Twitter account, even wrote on fake news about his dinner with Putin. Trump's relationship with Putin is in the spotlight amid a Russian collusion scandal with Trump's campaign team during American presidential election in 2016. The U.S. Congress and federal investigators are working on accusations that Russia played a role in the U.S. presidential election for Donald Trump's benefit. A person working for Russian counterintelligence admitted to the media had attended a meeting with Trump's senior advisors and his son Donald Trump Jr. last year. It was said that Trump Jr. was then promised material that could discredit Hillary Clinton. President Trump had denied it, while Trump's son-in-law Jared Kushner and electoral chairman Paul Manafort admitted it. This meeting is evidence of non-diplomatic relationship between the Trump campaign team with Russian leaders. President Trump himself remained less concerned about the meeting. Now, the problem is no longer a matter of Trump and Putin, but the fate of the Syrian people after the cessation of the support program. Although opponents of Assad have lost support, the resistance is likely to continue. By ending support programs for opposition groups, it seems that the United States must indeed recognize Russia's shrewdness in the Syrian affairs. Whatever happens, it is hoped that the Syrian issue will be resolved soon and the country can rebuild itself immediately. The Islamic Cooperation Organization's ministerial conference in Abidjan some time ago actually should be able to help reduce tensions in Syria. Unfortunately, the Islamic Cooperation Organization doesn't seem to have been able to do much for peace in Syria. Well, that was commentary over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on termination of support for Syria's opposition.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events in the past as recorded in history. We begin with an event which occurred on July 7, 1937, Marco Polo Bridge incident initiated the beginning of Sino-Japan War II. The Marco Polo Bridge incident is also called a battle between the Republic of China and the Japanese Empire, marking the start of the Sino-Japanese War II. The war, which was occurred on July 7, 1937 to September 9, 1945, was a major war between China and Japan before and during World War II. The Sino-Japan War II was the greatest Asian war of the 20th century, resulting from a decade-old Japanese imperialist policy. Japan intends to dominate China politically and militarily to safeguard China's vast reserve of raw materials and natural resources. On July 7, 1976, Gustav Walter Hahnemann passed away. Gustav Walter Hahnemann is a former federal president of West Germany during 1969 to 1974 period. He died on July 7, 1976. Hahnemann was born in 1899 and he has been active in various political parties since he was young. Between 1945 and 1949, Hahnemann was appointed as a mayor of Essen, and in 1949 he was appointed as interior minister to the federal government. Hahnemann's political career continued to rise until he was appointed as president in 1969. During his tenure, Hahnemann supported the Eastern policy run by the then West German Chancellor Willy Brandt, which was aimed to improve relations between West Germany and East Germany, as well as other communist countries in Europe and the Soviets. The last event, which occurred on July 7, 1978, the independence of Solomon Islands. The Solomon Islands is located in eastern Papua New Guinea, achieved their independence on July 7, 1978. The archipelago has inhabited for 1,000 years BC, and the Europeans were firstly set foot on the Solomon Islands in 1567. In 1885, Germany claimed the Solomon Islands as its colony. But a decade later, the British occupied the archipelago and made it a protectorate. After the World War II, the people of Solomon rose to fight for independence until finally independence on July 7, 1978. Residents of Solomon are majority derived from ethnic Melanesians. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is Areli Word Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. The theme of today's Focus is Indonesia adds World Peace Force to the United Nations. Indonesia will again send troops to conflict areas as peacekeepers under the banner of the United Nations. Indonesia will send 1,040 troops this year. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi, after a meeting with Vice President Yusuf Kalla, also followed by National Police Chief General Tito Karnavian, Defense Minister Ria Mirzatriakudu, and Finance Minister Sri Mulyani in Jakarta on Monday, July 17th, said hopefully this year Indonesia could add more deployment of troops. Retno Marsudi explained that the dispatch of troops made Indonesia the country that sent the largest number peacekeeping troops. With the new deployment, Indonesia has fulfilled 3,759 of the 4,000 already committed to the United Nations. Retno Marsudi said Indonesia's commitment to contribute to world peace efforts has also been conveyed by Vice President Yusuf Kalla in the UN Leaders Summit on Peacekeeping in New York, USA, in September 2015.
Pengiriman peacekeeping operation kita, peacekeeper
delivery of peacekeeping operation. Indonesia is the largest contributor to the delivery of the nation's peacekeeping. So far, we have sent 2,719 out of the 4,000 peacekeeping troops we are targeting to be delivered by 2019. In 2015, the Vice President attended a meeting called Leaders Summit on Peacekeeping in New York, the United States, in September 2015, and at that time Indonesia again pledged to increase troops. Retno Marsudi asserted that Indonesian government will not bear the operational expense of peace troops sent because Indonesia can request replacement costs to the United Nations every 3 months. She added, the peacekeepers sent are selected troops who have received special training. Well, that was Focus over Voice of Indonesia on Indonesia adds World Peace Force to the United Nations. This is the Reward Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Time now for us to bring you news in brief. Indonesia will hold a meeting on terrorism issues in the region along with Malaysia, Philippines, Brunei Darussalam, Australia, and New Zealand. And the meeting, termed Sub-Regional Cooperation Meeting on Fighting Terrorist Fighters and Cross-Border Terrorism, will be held on July the 29th in Manado, North Sulawesi. Indonesian President Joko Widodo said on Thursday that he would continue to improve the system of government and intensify law enforcement to eradicate corruption in the country. Credit rating agency Fitch Ratings has affirmed Indonesia's sovereign credit rating at BBB with a positive outlook. The election bill in Indonesia has been passed into law at the plenary session of the House of Representatives on Thursday, July the 20th. Indonesian Finance Minister Sri Mulyani said a Taiwanese ship named the Wanderlust, caught in Indonesian waters for allegedly carrying a ton of methamphetamine, had been a fugitive in Southeast Asian countries. Laos Foreign Minister Salom Shai Komarsit is due to visit Jakarta on July the 26th until 29th, where he and Indonesia's Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi will attend the 5th Indonesia-Laos Joint Commission on Bilateral Cooperation meeting. That was News in Brief over Voice of Indonesia. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Hey Michelle, what are you reading?
Oh, hi Steve. I'm reading an Indonesian travel brochure. And guess what?
What?
It's really fun and challenging, you know?
Really?
Yeah, all scenery looks so beautiful. Now I can decide where to visit.
Well, how about Joglo Semar? It is short term for Yogyakarta, Solo, and Semarang.
Oh.
And it is one of the 10 main tourism destinations in Indonesia.
Okay, I'll try to Joglo Semar.
Make your dream of having a holiday in Joglo Semar, Indonesia come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2017. Answer the following question. 1. Please mention some VOI programs and which one is your favorite. 2. When do you listen to VOI and in what language? 3. How do you listen to VOI? 4. What is your suggestions for VOI? 5. Tell us briefly, what do you know about Indonesia?
Send the answers along with your personal data, passport number, and passport expiry date to VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id. VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id before August the 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia.
Still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is the Reward Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Indonesian Wonder. Today, we will invite you to travel to Central Jawa. So stay tuned at RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Besides through shortwave, you can also listen to this broadcast via www.voi.co.id. Crafters in Pachangan Sub-District, Jepara Regency Central Java set a record for the Museum of Record in Indonesia by making trosso woven fabric of 217.4 meters long. They also set a record for successfully made the woven fabric with the most and longest patterns. The woven took for 3 months. This record is expected to help the promotion of Trozo Village as a center of handicraft weaving to a number of areas in the country. Trosso is the name of one of the villages in Pachangan sub-district of Jepara, a place where the community of Trosso woven fabric craftsmen are located. Trosso woven fabric is made from strands of weft yarn or warped thread, previously tied and immersed in natural dye. The looms used are traditional non-engine ones. Trosso woven fabric can be used as clothing and fashion apparel, furniture upholstery, or home interior decoration. Trosso weaving originally used a gedok weaving technique and then over a considerable period of time evolved into ikat or tie-dye weaving technique. However, people of Jepara Regency and surrounding areas are more familiar with the term trosso weaving. To make trosso weaving is quite complicated, starting from the arrangement of threads laid out neatly, line up called ngeteng plangkan. Then the arrangement of the thread is attributed to plangkan or a series of box-shaped timber called nali. Next is the arranging and giving the patterns on the thread to be woven using traditional tools or non-engine looms. This woven fabric has a very diverse motif such as rang-rang, rajut, endek weaving, scarf and Kalimantan patterns, and so on. If you are in Trosso woven fabric for various products made of this fabric, you can visit Trosso Village at Jepara. Throughout the village, there are many shops that sell various products of Trosso fabrics. The price per sheet varies from 135,000 rupiahs to 500,000 rupiahs for cotton cloth and 500,000 rupiah to 3 million rupiahs for silk fabric. The price is more expensive than batik cap or stamped batik because trosso woven is made using a non-engine loom or known in Indonesia as ATBM. Well, that was today's Indonesian Wonder, themed trosso woven fabric. We will meet again in next Indonesian Wonder program with another interesting topic.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Miscellany. And today the topic is straw fertilizer from Merang Mushroom Waste. Stay tuned. Merang mushroom or Fulvariella fulvacea is one of the edible mushroom species that is widely cultivated in East Asia and Southeast Asia with tropical or subtropical climate. Merang mushroom has delicious taste, savory, and not easily change form if cooked, so it can be used for a variety of dishes such as mushroom chicken noodles, saute mushrooms, mushroom peppers, soup, chapchai, and so forth. The content of protein in the mushroom is quite high. 100 gram fresh mushrooms contains about 3.2 grams of protein. This amount will increase to 16 grams if the mushrooms are in a dry state. Besides that, mushrooms also contains calcium and phosphorus, which is quite high. It is 51 milligrams and 223 milligrams. It also contains 105 calories with low fat content, only 0.9 grams. Merang mushroom commonly grown on media, which is a source of cellulose, such as on a pile of straw or hay waste rice yields near the rice mill waste, paper mill waste, dregs of palm stems, palm oil waste, sago pulp, cotton waste, and so on. Agricultural land in Pantura district or the north coast of Jawa, Agricultural land in west coast of Jawa or Pantura district of Indramayu, West Jawa, is suitable to develop various types of lowland vegetables. In addition to fertile soil, organic fertilizer needs abundant because it can produce their own. In the hands of the farmers of this region, merang mushroom waste can be used as organic fertilizer for plants, namely compost. The straw compost can gradually increase the content of soil organic matter and will gradually restore soil fertility. Besides that, the use of straw mushroom waste can be used continuously to meet the needs of soil nutrients, can reduce the level of pollution, because the use of waste straw can cause pollutants if burned, so this way it can lessen air pollution that results in global warming. The price of organic fertilizer made from merang mushroom is quite affordable for farmers and environmentally friendly, and certainly very helpful to local farmers to meet the need for fertilizer. By using organic fertilizer of this mushroom waste, the farmer's harvest quality will give a satisfactory amount. That was today's miscellany with the topic straw fertilizer from merang mushroom waste. We will meet again in the next miscellany with another interesting topic.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Anis, in our regular segment of Music Corner, which introduce you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. To initiate our today's Music Corner, let's listen to the Indonesian Islamic song locally known as Qasidah, performed by the Indonesian popular pop dangdut singer Cici Paramida, entitled Salawat Nabi. Not many singers in Indonesia are able to perform Qasidah song, and Cici Paramida is one of the very few singers who's able to sing this type of song perfectly. Listener, to begin our program, here is a song by Cici Paramida. Happy listening. Listener, you've just listened to the song entitled Salawat Nabi by Cici Paramida. Cici grew up listening to her mother to sing Qasida songs and joined Qasida group and mastered the genre. After mastering Qasida, Cici then switched to try another genre, namely Dangdut, and she mastered it fast. Cici said there are similarities between Qasida and Dangdut. In Indonesia, there are many Qasida groups and singers, but they are never as popular as Dangdut singers or groups. Cici Paramida officially debuted in 1993, and she still actively sings Dangdut songs until now. Listeners, let's listen to another song by Cici Paramida entitled
Thank you.
Listener, thank you for still being with us, the Voice of Indonesia, in a segment of Music Corner, and we are now giving you information about Indonesia's female dangdut singer, Cici Paramida. Her existence in Indonesian music scene is acknowledged by the Indonesia Dangdut Lovers after releasing 10 albums throughout her career. Among the songs she sang, there is one special song composed by Guru Soekarno Putra, the son of Indonesian first president Soekarno. Listener, to wrap up today's Music Corner, let's listen to a song by Cici Paramida entitled Wulan Merindu. Have a nice day and sampai jumpa lagi.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of
15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.